Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today, by popular demand, I'm joined by Colin Bird, who is Executive Chairman at Extract Resources. How are you today, Colin?
I'm very well, thank you, Zach. And how are you?
I'm fine. People are asking me which hole you are down, whether the first one, the second one, or the third one. Is that an appropriate question?
It's a good question, and you know that we report in daily, and that was changed, and we're reporting all by all, or I think what we said was significant or material change. And I think I did say at the last interview you and I had that looked like if that was the rule, then no news was good news. Well, Zach, no news is good news. We terminated it at 975.5 meters. We encountered the first mineralization at 178 meters. Again, the first encounter, sporadic. And then we had a showing here and a showing there, and we picked it about 290 meters. I really got it into it at 310. And then we had the usual sequence. You know, I talk about the onions going through the various layers. We had the various sequences. And we went through what must have been the hot spot, because the quartz was so brittle, you'd be one spank with an hammer and it would break into loads of pieces. And so that looked like it was the core. And then, you know, at around about 600, we came out into some really nice mineralization. And it really, and again, at 700s, it's really, really 700, 800, some really nice mineralization. Lots of chalco, and lots of pyrrhotite, pyrite, and quite abundant, and veins, blebs. And, you know, we're absolutely quite delighted with this hole. I mean, at 975, people seem to have this mythical 750, but I guess that was probably our expectation from what we saw from Basswork. But 975, we're pretty happy about that one, Zach, as you can well imagine. So that's 3 points we've got now, 3 points. And people have been asking me, Zach, and so probably this is the best forum to sort of address it, is where are those XRF results that we were going to get? And quite frankly, you know, a little bit of the science of XRF and old XRF, Zach, is that this very tiny aperture when you shoot the charge, very tiny aperture. So if I hit a fleb of chalcopyrite, I might get 9% copper. If I'm a quarter of an inch away, I get zero. So what's the average? 4.5%. Absolutely meaningless, because we all know these systems are between 0.25 and 0.45. So only when you've got finely disseminated homogeneous copper do you actually use the XRF. So we decided that our geologists on site, they were all under pressure to actually keep up with the machine. Brilliant drillers, right? Brilliant drillers. We decided they'd be better employed looking at every idiosyncrasy and distribution of mineralization and what's coming out of the drill machine as it went along. Because the big thing now, of course, is correlating what we're seeing. So we decided not to use the XRF because it would have given us spurious results, and the last thing our market needs and the last thing we need is spurious results, and the assays aren't that far away anyway. So yes, in summary, Zach, a great program, and from 600 metres onwards, some brilliant mineralisation, really liked it. And mineralisation all the way, of course, from 290, 310, I think the geologist would argue me. So, you know, about 300 metres to certainly 930. Very, very good. And as always, petering it out as one gets to the margins. So the, you know, to finish the old, the chalcopyrite had all but finished. And the pyrrhotite was beginning to peter as well. So good old Zach, a great old third dimension. And, you know, now we've ended up with a porphyry, which is about the same size in all directions, 1,000 metres by 1,000 metres by 1,000 metres, that sort of thing. So it's we do know now it is a very big system. We've got we've got strong mineralisation towards the east. So that was pleasing. And this system looks like it is going to be a really big system, a really big system there.
Okay, well, and just finally, I mean, the headlines, you know, you're obviously a mining man. The headlines are all about, well, they were about tin a few days ago, but they seem to be about copper now. That seems to have come into focus. Is that something that surprised you, or are you delighted? Or how's your emotional state regarding that at the moment?
Well, my emotional state, when you've got a copper like, when you've got a project like this one, of course, my emotional state is somewhat charged. But I did forecast this a couple of years, I think, on one of your interviews, and probably quite generally. I've been a copper bull. In fact, I'm surprised it's taken this long. On the other hand, I'm quite surprised with the rate of change. So, you know, I'm sort of a bit of a bit myth there. I expected it to move slowly and gradually, tier by tier. But the point's being proven now, and now this is where it starts at. The majors are looking for more copper. There aren't a lot of projects, successful projects around. They're far and few between. A lot of projects were shelved. Chile, which produces 37% of the world's copper, well, we all know they've got social problems, and you have to dig 500 or 600 meters to get 4.2 before anything starts. So, you know, to bring one of those mines on is a couple of $3 billion, and most of the existing mines are, you know, getting towards the end. Extremely deep open pits or challenging underground mines. So it's going to be a very interesting scenario. And anybody's act, any company, any junior, in my opinion, who's in the right place with a copper deposit over 1 million tons of contained copper, basically are going to be receiving quite a few phone calls from the majors. And of course, that was the underlying reason that Extract went after the Bushranger project in anticipation of this copper boom. And of course, gold and copper hand in hand is no bad thing.
But your main, I mean, I think people regarding Besant as your main copper play, is that correct?
Well, I mean, as we stand now, Bushranger, I guess, is on everybody's mind. But you know, down in Namibia, we've got the Besant, project, which is extremely nice. We've got permission for the 137 kilometres of flying, which Anglo never did, and I think they probably wish they had it done. We've already got a resource down there, so that's upwards and onwards. And then, of course, we've just announced that we're starting drilling on Kalengwa. And we've got two very large targets there. We've got the good geochemical results, some drilling, not drilling for bedrock, but drilling for geochemistry. And we're in an area, not very far from a pit, which was 2 million tons at 9.45% copper, with over 25% yielding plus 20% copper for direct smelting. So, you know, Besant is very, very much a copper play, with the periphery manganese in Botswana, which is battery grade. So, you know, it's all in the same electric vehicle space, if you like. But yes, Besant's about to start drilling, is about to start flying, and is about to start testing the Kenya manganese project. So it's a very exciting company. Besant is at the moment extremely exciting.
Okay, well, on that note, two for the price of one there. Colin Bird, Executive Chairman at Extract Resources, thank you very much indeed, and thank you for the appraisal of Besant as well.
Thank you very much, and thank you for asking me about Besant. It's kind of you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.